And this is a call conference just for these two items. We won't just be discussing anything else. That'll be next Wednesday night. We have our general conference. Just want to get these two items out of our way. When we do go to our general conference next week, we'll have this already took care of. So let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father Jesus, again, we want to thank you for the blessings of the day. And Father, especially, Lord, for bringing us to another close of your beautiful, beautiful day that you have prepared for us. And Father, here this night as we're discussing your business, Father, and Lord, as we have a budget here before us tonight for the next year, if you let this world stand, we pray, Lord, that we might use every penny, every dime for your glory, to spend it in a way, God, to bring glorification to your name. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all the officers, Lord, that is going to take part in this next year and for everyone here this night, because we know that, Father, you're here tonight, Lord, to do the Lord's business. We know that your business is not our business, and we just pray, God, everything that's said and done here in this call conference be pleasing to you. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, as pastor, the conference is open this time for a call conference. Everybody have the names now for our officers for the next year. Y'all got, everybody got a copy of it. Go down the list. Everything has been about the same till we get down to funeral flowers and funeral food. Y'all follow me? Y'all follow it down. Everybody else has been the same till we get down to that part. Now, Cindy is not going to do the funeral flowers, so what we need is two ladies to work back two together for the food and for the flowers when someone dies in our church. Our church has agreed to a last conference that we would, the church would furnish as much as $250 meat for the funeral. The rest of the food would be furnished by individuals of the church. But we know the economy, how it is, it's kind of hard to fix meat, so the church is going to have that much to spend. Don't have to spend that much, but we need some lady to take care of this and size of the family, know how much to buy and how much to spend. And if they are out of town, they will give them a check for $250 or less, whatever the size of the family is. Let them go and eat out somewhere if it's not feasible for us to go out somewhere and fix the food. Now, any questions on the food and the flowers? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Maybe during the day. From just according to what time the funeral would be, usually from 11 to 1 or 11 to 2, usually that's where that would be at. Well, we have some ladies that call different ones to fix food, so you'll probably be on their list. They'll probably ask you, got some ladies that calls and lets everybody know that the fix food such a day and kind of be prepared to fix. But this would be just for the church. We need two volunteers for this. Ladies, I hate to put my finger on you, but if I don't get somebody pretty quick, I'm going to get somebody. Okay, thank you, Miss Wendy. Okay, I better get another. I need somebody. They're going to work together for this food now. Whoever does it is going to work together for the flowers and for the meat for the funeral. Anybody else want to work with Miss Wendy? She's hard to work with now, I tell you. Anybody else? Lauren, what'd you say? Hey, any other lady? Susie. What's your last name? Okay, Miss Susie Casey says she's going to volunteer. All right. We won't have to have a motion or anything, because we're going to have a motion in a second for all these in just a moment. Any other discussion on these two? If not, you drop on out of Sunday School Superintendent, and Stevie Boyd said he would be the Sunday School Superintendent. And he will be filling in for those four adult classes that we have, 1, 2, 3, and also senior adult. And he will be the Sunday School Superintendent next year. Suzanne Clark has given up her class of the 3 to 5 years old. Sue McCummer is going to volunteer to do that and work with them. She needs a lady to kind of help her out And I think Julie has been doing that for the last week or two. She'll be glad to help you, my David's wife, Julie. She's over there with a kid. Now, hadn't she been doing that, Suzanne?
She did for 2 weeks.
Okay, she'll be glad to help you. I'll tell her about it tonight. We have all right, I'll read these other names. Any questions? We don't know. We're going to leave it like that until we find out. Any other questions? Any of our officers, areas, anything? If not, I hear a motion that we accept these names as presented by the church or to the church. Who was that, Brother Orville? Brother Orville made a motion. I hear a second. Who was that? Brother Joe second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Over. Thank you. Okay. Budget. Budget. We try to get back on schedule since our church is paid for. Hadn't been for the last 5 years, so we try to get back on schedule of trying to get as close as we could to the budget. One thing that we didn't put on here is we've been for the last 4 or 5 years, our first Sunday offer, no matter what it was took up to go into the building fund to pay everything on our church. And we only operated out of the second, third, and fourth Sunday for the last 4 or 5 years. Since our church has paid off, and we know the economy has come down and our savings have kind of come down, we'll discuss this at our next conference. But we have budgeted, instead of putting the first Sunday in our building fund, we budgeted $1,500, $1,500 a month to go into our building fund. Instead of the first Sunday, $1,500 a month will still be going into our building fund. And we'll quit sending out first Sunday offerings in. So we'll just be sending $1,500 a month into our building fund. We have about $30,000 closely in our building fund now. I think that's about correct. But anyhow, we'll be discussing this next Wednesday night in our general conference. But that's one we didn't have on here, the savings, $1,500 a month out of our budget. As we start on our budget, anytime y'all want to jump in and anything clarified or discussion, don't let us know. We'll take it in portions. Start with the children, church, nursery, and right on down. Basically all the same thing. It was last year, the total children, $3,450 for the children. Education, that came down a little bit due to a few things that we had cut back on. That was education. General fund. Insurance. Seems like a lot of money for insurance, don't it? It is, $6,250. Maintenance or maintenance, that had to go up. Utilities went up, way up. Light bills going up all the time, and everything else is going up just about it. So raise that up on our maintenance. Mission, we up to 16% on giving in our missions. Pastors, men, marshal expense, and everything else. We have a personnel, ground custodian, piano, treasurer. Up just a little. services, revival, senior citizens, special day, funeral expenses, close as we can get it. It went up a little. Close to the same budget we had last year. This is a tentative agreement, what I'd call it. So it's a subject to change every time we have a conference. There's some other area we might need to add or subtract from. Next Wednesday night, we'll be discussing more of this in details. Any discussion on this presented to the church? I have a motion that we accept this proposal budget. I hear a motion we accept this proposed budget. Brother Jim made a motion that we would take this budget. I hear a second. Stevie Boyd second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Amen. I hear a motion the call conference is closed. Joe made that motion. I hear a second. Orville second. All in favor saying amen and open your Bible. All right. This is the part I like a whole lot better than that. I know we got to do it. Woo-wee. All right. Psalm 23. Boy, I tell you. I appreciate old Jeremy up there. I tell you. Sometimes he has it by himself and he looked like a fiddler crowd while I go going back too so fast there. Oh, you really had him going back to all them computers and all those butts he has to mash. But we appreciate you, Jeremy. All right. You ever been restful? I think we have a country this day that's just so restless. And we find out the answer in Psalm 23 and verse 2. But I'm going to read all this psalm. Lord, let me. I just want to keep on walking through it. There's so many things. It changes all the time. I mean, that's something. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, settle down in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Tonight, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So restful today, this whole generation we live in. You know, you and I, too, saved or lost people, we're just so restless. We living in a restless generation, and we just cannot be satisfied, seem like. You ever watch the Olympics? They're on the Olympics over there, and I like to watch them sometimes, and they'll ones that's going in competition, they'll psych themselves out, they get pumped up to be in competition and against the other opponent. They'll bounce around, you know. And especially I used to watch these old wrestlers, how they'd psych themselves up, you know. They'd beat themselves in the chest, you know, and jump up and down, flex their muscle, man. They would do all kind of thing in the ring and tell how good and skillful they was and how they was going to tear up their opponent and just pump each other up. Well, I was reading a Golden Glove boxer was pumping himself up, you know, and he was just excited, pumping himself up, you know, and getting all excited and psyching himself out, and he just punching himself, and he punched himself, and he hit himself in the face, and he broke his jaw. Well, you know, that didn't stop, you know, he kept on bouncing around, and he punched himself again in the nose and knocked himself out. And that was in the Time magazine, and you know, the fight was over before the other opponent ever got in the ring. You know what happens? You know what we do? Sometimes we knock ourselves out with fear. And we knock ourselves out. The other opponent don't have to do anything. We just knock our own self out. We just fear. Fear of worry and fear comes self a prophecy to our own life. But we fear about what's going to happen. And we fear all the time in our lives. Well, old Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Now, you know what? That's happened so many times. I fear it so hard. He said, that's what come upon me, and that which I was afraid of, it come unto me. And you know what? We'll bring that on ourselves. We'll knock ourselves out so many times before that old devil ever gets a chance to. We don't even get a chance to blame it on him. We'll knock our own self out with worrying and fear. You know, and I talked to somebody tonight about worrying, and I'm a worrier. The Bible says don't worry. It's a sin, but I, you know what? I just sometimes I slip away and worry, you know, and get things on my mind because I'm not in control. That's what it's all talking about. Well, we're capable, you know, of sabotaging, you know, our own lives if we allow fear of worry and fear of restlessness to enter into our life. We'll knock our own self out. So this restless generation, to start with, as I label this, the one way we can sabotage our life is by refusing to follow the Lordship. Now, that's how we really sabotage our life and knock ourselves out, is we refuse to follow the Lord's leadership. You mean to tell me somebody's born again and serving the Lord 25, 30, 40, 50, 60 years would refuse to follow the Lord? Yes, we will. I'm telling you, we're tonight. I'm telling you, are the foundation of God's people at Pleasant Hill. Well, I'm telling you what, every one of us are subject to knock ourselves out by not following the will of the shepherd and the ways of the shepherd. We all have to watch ourselves constantly all the time when we refuse to do this. Fear of worry, it comes by not being in control. I preached on last Wednesday night in that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The fear of worry, when it comes that we're out of control and we worry about it because we can't control it. When you worry about something, we don't have control over it and we worry about it. Oh, we worry about it. We worry about it. I mean, we can't control it. And that's when the Lord says, you know, that's useless. But restlessness, it comes when things are out of control and we're not in leadership. And you know what? We understand that we're not in leadership and we're not doing the leading. And these issues of restlessness, and I said, I believe that is the characteristics of most people in our country today, are so restful. The characteristics of us, a saved and a lost. I really think we're seeing a new America. I really think we're seeing a new America. Thank you, Lord, for the years that I have spent in this old country. It's called America. And I know some of you is older than me, but I tell you, I was very well blessed to be born in the country at the time that I was born. When things was hard, as I said, I can remember when the old folks didn't have no Social Security. Of course, I was a young lad. It didn't bother me. I didn't worry about it. My dad, he took care of me. I didn't have to worry about being took care of. Children don't worry about that. But I'm glad. And you know, when the people, the farmers, we lived in a farming community. Most people in this country was farmers. And they relied on the earth and they relied on the oil. The Lord is bringing them food for their family and shelter. There was no irrigation. There was no weed control. Even there's no tractors. But they relied on the Lord to bring them through. And you know what? Some of them didn't have anything but the Word of God. But God brought them through. And we have tried everything and got away from the valuable thing in our country that brings us through. And we're so restless in our country this day. And I believe we're looking at a new America. Has never experienced the great joy that I've experienced and a lot of you have experienced, how the Lord has took care of us. You know, no matter where, you know, we had irrigation on the farm or you didn't have irrigation, you know, the Lord takes care of us today just like he took care of those people then. But you see, it seemed like they was more aware of it because they had things they couldn't control. We think we can control it. If it don't rain, I'll turn on the irrigation pump. You see, I'll do something myself because we want to be in control. But then people realized in this country that God was in control. They had nowhere else to turn. Now we want the government to control us. We want everything in the world. A secular spiritist is what we are. How do we solve the world problems in this new America we have? Well, the answer it would say by the church. The world needs Jesus and faith in God. And you say, yeah, that's right. And we believe in the power, the prayer, and the ministry of the church. And yet, across America, if we would ask the Christian people across America, yet the way they live and behave their life and how they have commitment is no different than their lost neighbor. Yeah, we believe the answer to America, and we'll tell you, we're Christians, all tell you, yeah, it's Christ and faith in Christ and the power of prayer and all that. But how do they live their life different from what they say they believe? The new America. The new America I think we're living in. There's no difference. Now, Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to teach Christianity, my Catholic friends. That's what they believe. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to teach Christianity. Jesus Christ is Christianity. And that makes a great difference. He did not come to this earth to save civilization. As we think we have the White House and that group up there think they're going to save civilization. Jesus Christ came to save man out of civilization. Because civilization is headed where Christ said it was going to head, right back to where it started from. Christianity, Jesus Christ come not to teach bad people how to be better. As so many people think that's what it's all about teaching bad people how to be better. But Jesus Christ came to raise dead people to a new life through his relationship with them. Now that's the answer to our country. That's the answer to our country. Problems. What the problem would be if we know this? Well, as Christians, as church people, we do not want to be inconvenienced by following Jesus Christ. Tell me now. I'm talking to you because I'm talking to myself. We don't want to be inconvenienced. So a lot of times, are you really in control? Are you really letting God lead you? Everybody in here tonight, are you really letting God lead you like he wants to lead you? Or are you to think, well, if I turn loose and let him lead me, there's some things, you know what, if I follow him, I'll be inconvenient. You know, it's inconvenient sometimes to do what God's called you to do. And you don't want to be inconvenient. What we believe and what we do are two separate parts of our lives. Because, you know what, we want to be in control and we don't want Lord to be in control. When he's not in control, we'll be restless. But we want to be in control. We tell self, if we put our life on the line for God, hand everything over to him, I tell you, he'll put more on us than what we can stand. But that's not what Jesus Christ said. Matthew 11 and 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But let's don't follow the Lord. If he does, I'm going to be very inconvenient. And you know what you will be? Because you won't be doing what you wanted to be doing. You'll do what God wants you to do. And it will inconvenience you. And we don't want to be inconvenient in this people, in this country. A new America. Don't want to be inconvenient. I don't want to go too far in that. I don't want to go too far in that. The truth now, Pleasant Hill, to surrender to God. We know if we do, and God is in total leadership of our life, we know that God's going to ask us to give up something that we do not want to give up. Yeah, it might be some of your time. It might be your ties. It might be your talent. It's something. We know we surrender, they're going something that we do not want to give up, and God's going to tell us to give up. We would resist. We do not want to be in the will of God. We will resist that because we want to be in control, go when I want to go and do what I want to do, and it leaves us restless. Problem, who's in control and who's in charge of your life? Now, we all say, well, we want to say Christ, he's in charge. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to lead us. But is he really? Ray, I like that song he sings about them rooms in my heart, you know. Because, you see, if we'll surrender all the rooms in our heart, as old Ray sings that song, there's some rooms in our heart that we don't want God to have. I better amen myself because I'm not getting too many amens. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm one of you. I'm one of you. So we don't want to surrender those parts. All those doors, Ray, let the Lord in all of them. But there's one of them I don't want you to get in because that's my business, Lord. I don't want to surrender that part. Well, the Lord's not leading you to you're willing to do that. Boy, if I do that, I'd be inconvenienced, I tell you. I may have to give up something. You will have to give up something. The problem, who is in charge? Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, to start with, you know what it says? He makes. He makes. Well, to start with, right off the bat, I don't want nobody making me to do anything. And that's you too. Most of the time, I don't want God to say that. He makes me. He said, but he makes me. I don't want nobody to make me do anything. Well, God, it has authority over your life because you are saved and bought with a high price. It's not the price of goats and cows or not the price of gold and silver. It's the price of God's own son, his precious blood, that he owns you. He's got authority over you. And he says, I'll make you. And he does. And he has to because we're so stubborn. Talking about sheep. I'll get into that in a minute. He just goes against the grain. He says he leads. That just goes against the grain. I want to do my leading in my life. And God, if it fits in your will, all right. If it don't, I want to do my will. Now, that's what we used to do now, if you'll tell the truth about it. I want to be in charge. You know how it says, you see the commercials, you can have it your way. I don't know what it is, a hamburger or something, they'll have it your way. That's just a way of life. We want it our way. And everything tells us, in this, you need to have it your way. That's what commercials about every time you turn around, about having it your way. We want our way. I remember whenever Joyce left me with two of the kids, David and Carl, when they were as little, she don't remember this. She'd go in somewhere, I said, you better make sure that I got a bottle and everything I need now and you get back. I said, you better hurry back. I think Carl was a baby, David about 2 years old. The time she left, Carl was asleep. And the time she left, I said, be quiet now, everything going to be quiet. She gets back and I think David fell over and hit his head. Not the pump knot on his head, Lord of mercy, I run and get the ice, and Lord, he was a crying. Shh, 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 you wake up, Carl. Shh, 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 you wake up, Carl. Shh, shh, don't say that. Now lay him down, Everything will be all right. Everything will be all right now. Shh, 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 shh. He'll pop right back up, go to crying. Pop right back up, go to crying. You ever try to make a baby lay down when he's hurt and be quiet? You ever tried that? I'm telling you. Well, the good shepherd, he comes to us in our hurts and our pains, and he tells us to lie down and rest, and he'll supply it. Lay down, he says. Green pasture, now lie down. You know what? We'll pop right back up. He said, I'm furnish you everything now. I'm your Lord. I'm your shepherd. I'll furnish every need. Haven't I met your need so far in life? Could you say yes tonight? He has. All right, and you're hurting? Well, just lay down in my supply of my needs, of your needs, because I'll supply them. Just lay down. And you just keep popping right back up. Every time you lay down, you keep popping right back up. You won't let the Lord. You won't listen to the Lord. I won't listen to the Lord. And I keep popping right back up. I'm hurting all the time. I keep popping right back. He says, lay down. Well, I couldn't get David to lay down. He can't get us to lay down either. Go, he won't lay down. We keep popping right back up. I'm hurting, Lord, I'm hurting. Yes, but he says, I'll meet your needs. I'll meet your needs. I'm your shepherd. You believe I can supply everything and never have another need? You believe that? Yeah, but I'm hurting. Lay down, I'll pop right back up. I got to think how many times I've propped up in my life. The problem that troubled us, troubled the flock, I said we like shepherds. He makes me to lie down. Now, we don't recognize that he has brought us to a place that, we can relax and trust him. He's going to meet all of our needs. I know Brother Darrell have the book out by Philip Keller, 23rd Psalm. You need to get that book. It's a good old. He was a sheep herder, and he tells us a lot about sheep. We don't know much about sheep in our country, so you need to read behind somebody who knows something about sheep. But he says, it's impossible, to get sheep to lay down whenever they have problems. Well, we sheep. Well, we won't lay down to rest either because we have problems. You have to address these problems. Well, there's four problems. One thing's fear. If a sheep has got fear, scared, he says they're awful. They don't have no defense. A little small movement distracts them, and they will not settle down. We sheep, the least little thing detract us, we won't settle down. Well, unless the shepherd, he says, he stands in the midst of his sheep, and then they'll lay down. They'll lay down if he's in the midst. Well, the Lord had to come to our midst to get us to lay down. Young children, when they go to bed at night, they're always afraid of the monsters and the boogeymans in the bed at the house. And then mama or daddy, they'll come in, to that bedroom and they'll comfort that child and everything will be all right. And, that gives them assurance and they just lay down and rest. It's so good to know when you was coming along. My dad had to take a lot of trips. He lived in Miami a lot, worked there, and we was back home here on Old Farm. It was so good whenever I knew my dad was in the house. He didn't have to be in the room. I wasn't really scared of booger man, but always a quietness and a peace to know that my father was in the house. I could rest better because he was in my midst. You know, that's what he's telling us. Just to know that Daddy is with you. Father, Abba, Father. You know, adults the same way. I mean, after we grow old, we get the same way. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ, they got the same way. Remember they was out there in the boat with Jesus Christ asleep in that boat, Matthew chapter 4, and a big storm come up. That's what it says in Matthew 4, 37 and on. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hind part of the ship, that's Jesus, lying on a pillar, and they woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Even adults would get that same way. We get so fearful of things. And then he says, you know, that another thing is friction. Philip Keller says friction. Sometimes the old sheep, sometimes they abut the young sheep and get them out of the way because they want to lay down in that spot. And long as there's friction in the herd, they wouldn't lay down. They wouldn't sleep because there's friction. You know, we have so much friction, you know, in our culture today and so much stress that, you know what, of the relationship that we can't lay down and rest. A lot of people have sleepless nights because there's so much stress and so much frustration in their life. One thing or several things. You know, the conflict in the home. Devil's having a good time, is he not? Conflict in the home and a family. Maybe it's the office at work, or maybe for the kids it's at school or the school teachers. Maybe it's on your job. And, you know, even sometimes it comes to church with us, and they friction in the church, and you can't rest when you have this friction. Little small things. You can't rest with a friction. And then frustration. Sheep, they don't rest too good when they get kind of scared and they get frustrated. And the least little thing frustrates them. And I was reading in this book where these little parasites, and it gets in their nose and their ears, you know, and they frustrate them. And the shepherd takes oil and he rubs on their nose and their ears, you know, where to keep these little parasites from messing with them. The frustration. Do you know the small little things, and maybe you couldn't even see the little fly, but you know the small things that really what frustrates us? Have you ever got in your house on a Sunday evening and recliner, and there was one fly in the house, and you got on that recliner, and he knows exactly where to get to your nose, crawl across your face. One little fly. Well, if I could just get a hold of him. You don't want to wake up and get a fly flap because you wake up from your nap. Just one little fly irritates you to death. Well, all right, if you don't like that, you get on the back porch then of a night, and you know, in a cool breeze, you'll sit around there, and then those skeeters and eat you up. Or those sand gnats, little old bitty things that just irritate you and you can't rest. Little things irritates us. Alarm clock, I hate them. I hate to hear an alarm clock. I heard one for 40-something years going back to the world. I hate them. Alarm clock. And I think it upsets me when I hear one go off. George don't hardly set the alarm clock because I hate them things. Least little thing, alarm clock. And I'm not in the computer generation, I can tell you all that. Joyce, she's a computer whiz, but I'm not. I don't mess with computers. I don't even walk by them if I can help it. How about the remote control on television? If it ever goes out of the normal, I'd have got called David or some of my boys up there to get my television back on. I can't even get my television to work because it's got this remote control. Just aggravates me. If I weren't a good Christian man, I'd beat it with a hammer. You ever felt that way? Air conditioning control. If it's that computerized control, you don't, that thing don't work like it ought to. I won't want to go up and down, on or off. I don't care about any other of that junk. I don't like time and stuff and all that stuff on it. That thing messed me up. Remote control. Air conditioning controls. Just the least little thing. And any of that thing happens, you know what? You get frustrated and you don't want to lay down and rest. Well, food. Sheep lie down, you know what, they've got to be satisfied. They gotta be, you know, they gotta be filled up. Well, Christians, same way. You know, we struggle sometimes, a lot of Christians struggle because they're empty. They're empty. Hebrews 5 and 13 and 14 says, for every one of us that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of us have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So many Christians are not satisfied because they are hungry. They have not had the Word of God. Thank you for the church we have that believes in the Word of God. People, problems before the water of rest, and I'll be through in just a moment. He leads me beside the living waters. I didn't grasp that till as many times as I've been over this. But you see, it says in waters, plural. Well, the Hebrew, I got looking this thing up, he said, you know, there's a different way of pronouncing it, by beside the quiet waters or the waters of rest. Oh, Philip Keller says, you know, sheep won't drink from a running water, but I read other shepherds where they had shepherd sheep and says they get thirsty enough, they'll drink from anything. I kind of believe the last one. I believe they get thirsty enough, they'll drink. But it says waters, quiet waters, waters of rest. And waters are plural. Did you notice that? Now, we don't ever say, go get me a glass of waters. Or let's go swimming in the waters. Have y'all noticed that? The Holy Spirit of God has penned to put S on the waters. Because these waters, as David says, the shepherd there, he leads me over and over and over again to a place of restful waters. This week, next month, next year, tomorrow, he'll lead you to restful waters. Not just one time, as we think the shepherds lead them to restful water. It's waters that he's leading us every day to restful waters of something in our life that God has to tend to for us. So it's waters, place where we can have our needs met. Gosh, I'm not going to get through this verse of scripture. Problems before the waters of rest, and then how this generation can recover from this restfulness. Well, all type of fatigues. It boils all the way back down to one thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Remember all other things. This whole 23rd Psalm to start with goes out of proportion if you don't say, to start with the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. If he's not your shepherd, if you're not going to follow him, verse 2 that I talked about tonight, you'll be frustrated. And all these other verses. All we have to do is just follow him and he'll lead us. I got to tell you this about Daytona Speedway 500. Y'all ever seen the Daytona 500? Daytona 500, I know y'all seen this on television. They have people of the best drivers in the world. And they got cars that cost millions of dollars, more than they pull out there. And they got a little old Chevrolet car. It's, you know, it won't run very fast. They call it the pace car. Don't have a very big motor in it. Others can run it faster backwards than that thing can forward, but it's the pace car. Got strobe lights all over it. They get ready to go, they drive that little Chevrolet out there on that road, you know, and turn on pace, all the lights on. All of them sees that thing going, you know, and they fall in behind that pace car. All them motors there, and old pace car just chucking along there. They follow right along with it. Man, he pulls off, they take off, boy. Then some little something happens, some danger, some wreck out there. Pace car, he'll pull right back out on the road there, turn the lights on. Oh, man, they slow down and get right behind that thing. You know what? That little pace car, if we could be like that for Jesus Christ, you know what? They know that they got to be behind that pace car because it keeps them out of danger. And it keeps them there from having a wreck. And that pace car, it sets the pace. You know what? Are you lined up with the one that sets the pace in your life is Jesus Christ? If we would follow him, like those cars follow that pace car, you know what? We wouldn't have to worry. Because if we just fall right in behind him, that pace car guides all those other cars into safety. And you know what Jesus wants to do? All through our life, we're living this little life we're living in. Jesus Christ has set a pace for us. He said, if you just follow me, I'll just guide you through all these dangerous halls and stairs that we have already come. If you just follow the leader, and Jesus Christ is the leader. As we stand this night, and we won't have a song tonight, we're just going to stand in this mist in the time that